Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I hit the wrong button.
You did yesterday, too.
Did I really?
Yes. Yesterday's show was Here's Mike.
Do you think we fooled anybody?
No, you don't look like
I didn't,
Mike.
I don't either, but maybe we'll get it by the end of the week. Mike is out. Mike will be back on the bonus show this week. But I am so thrilled to have a guest host in today because he is, as was described on social media, a perennial good guy. And he always stops by because he wants to help me celebrate Allison Seymour's birthday. And it is Allison's birthday. But here is a media magnate and just a man who has covered all the airwaves, Tony Perkins.
Hello.
Tony, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Really,
you know what?
It's
been a long time. You know, I love doing this show with or without Mike. Give Mike my best.
I will.
So I'm happy to be asked. Thank you very much. And who is that other guy?
That's Josh.
Oh.
And yeah.
And I'm here because you requested no show with Mike.
Wait a minute. Can we mute Josh's mic now?
Josh has told you several things to make you cranky already today, which
Mike,
has been really, really nice.
Not be cranky.
Okay. So, Tony, you have been on every channel in the D.C. market, right?
I knew you
because you're currently on WRC.
Yes, I'm on NBC.
Where your friends are.
Yes.
No, Channel 4 in the morning. Great news team there. Great station. Legendary station.
It's a legendary station.
And you must be thrilled to work there.
I am absolutely thrilled. I have, it's a station, you know, I think many people in town would, many people in the business in town would say, that's a station you want to work at some point.
Like you say, I agree.
Legacy station, kind of a standard bearer, does a good job with the news, not yelling and screaming, not opinionated, all that kind of stuff. It's the news. And I mean, we have fun with it, obviously, where we can.
I think that's probably why they brought you in. They don't look like a bunch of partiers, so I think you bring a lightness to the morning show. But I do love you in the morning. You're the perfect... I'm not trying to suck up here, but you have the perfect mood that you want to wake up to, if
Thank
that makes
you
any sense.
Very much. I think that's why most of my career has been in mornings, whether mm-hmm. especially TV, but radio as well for the most part.
Right.
And, you know, you do want a certain vibe. Obviously, you want to know what's going on, what happened overnight,
right.
but you're kind of... You know, you don't need to be bombarded with heavy, straight, you know, yelling, screaming. And we have a great team. My co-anchor is Jumi Olubanji, who the audience loves.
Yes, count me in.
She's great. Chuck Bell is the weathercaster. I'd never met Chuck before working there.
Ryan's not there anymore?
Bob Ryan left sometime. All the okay. Arch is gone. Doreen is gone.
No, not Arch. I'm just giving you
a They're all still loved.
Yes, they are. So Mr. Bell is a good weatherman.
Mr. Bell is a good weatherman, and he's very, very funny. He cracks me up all the time. So I thought I would come there and I would provide the laughs. I'm laughing half the time.
Well, that's good, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I think you kind of crafted, if I may be so bold, the proper Washington Morning Show mood when you were at Channel 5.
Uh-huh.
You and Tucker together were just fantastic, and I think you bring that wherever you go. I think it's a nice, relaxed presentation on the air. And you've worked at Channel 9, too?
I worked at Channel 9 as well for about 2 years.
Okay.
So here's the deal. And when you say I've worked at every station, it's literally true. I don't know if you remember. You probably remember this. Josh, you're too young.
Andy's in Florida.
And lives in Florida.
Hey, that's only the past 5 years. I'm very familiar with DC TV.
Okay, good.
You won't be familiar with this. My first TV job was on Channel 20 here in DC.
I do remember it.
It was a show called DC 20 Breakaway, Saturday afternoons, a little comedy promotional show that I did, which I loved. It's to this day one of my favorite things I've ever done because I got
there was something with a puppet or a stuffed animal.
Yes, I wish I knew where the stuffed animal was. Yes, I had in the studio. So here's what the show was. We shot it in the control room. It was ostensibly to promote, hey, coming up tonight, the Caps are playing the Rangers.
Right, right.
Or, you know, the United Negro College Fund telethon is tomorrow, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I came on. It was a two-hour block. There were four syndicated sitcoms. One of them was Small Wonder. Do you remember
that? Yes, The Robot Girl.
The Robot Girl. Terrible.
One of the worst TV shows ever made.
Awful.
So Vicky was her name.
Vicky was her name. That's right. They hired me to do these promotional things, but to be funny. I was doing stand-up comedy at the time.
So, well, they couldn't rely on Small Wonder to be funny.
Which is, so here's the thing. I had a ball with the shows. I was critical of them, of making fun of them. And
that's great.
My favorite thing that people used to say to me when I would meet them on the street, they would say, I can't believe they let you say that stuff about those shows. And I wasn't so obnoxious that if you were a fan of the sitcoms, you would get mad and turn me off. But if you didn't like the sitcoms, you'd love this guy being smart alecky about them.
That's so
good.
The first time I remember seeing you, and the reason I remember this is I said, and I don't mean to bring up a tired trope, I said, that's not the guy from Psycho. And so I turned it on, and I think you were hosting Marx Brothers movies on Channel 20.
And
that would, I mean, I'm a Marx Brothers maven. It's huge for me. I would catch them every time they're on. And that was the first time I became aware of you. Now when you were doing Breakaway, I'm sorry, Josh.
Well, according to your Wikipedia, you won an Emmy for Breakaway.
That was my first. I won an Emmy for Breakaway for hosting, which was great.
How many did Small Wonder win?
You know what? I wonder where that girl is now, that little girl.
I married her. She's in my home.
She's now fully AI.
That's right. And last week we gave birth to a Roomba. It was beautiful.
Well, that must have been painful.
Well, for her. So when you were doing Breakaway, you were really connected to the stand-up scene.
Yes,
DC,
I was still doing stand-up comedy. I was, and in fact, they hired me because the general manager or the program director at the time saw me in a comedy club. And thought,
no way, really?
Yeah. The Crystal City Comedy Club. I'll never forget this. He and his wife.
Didn't it
were
become
there.
An adult venue? And then
shortly after I left, they said, listen, no one's laughing anymore, so we might as well be titillating. So
now, good word. When you were at Channel 20, and this is, I promise to come back to the present in just a moment.
That's okay.
Did you do any crossover with Dick Dizel, who is Captain 20 and a very big deal of my childhood?
I think we crossed over when there were telethons taking place there.
Okay.
So we would make a joint appearance. I have a vague recollection of either him guesting on my show or me guesting on his show, but I'm not. It's so long ago, I'm not sure. And I do want to mention, because you mentioned the puppet, I found a stuffed animal in the studio. It was a rat, and it was red, stuffed animal. So I called him the Christmas Rat, and he was my co-host.
All season long.
All season, regardless, that's right. That's right.
That's excellent. Yes. That's so great. And so, and I guess that was the funny thing you said there is that Channel 20 would have the Capitals games.
Right.
And now they're just a repeater for Channel 5.
Right. That's right. Isn't that funny?
Sadly.
Yeah.
And then, of course, your time at ABC was very illustrious because you were in New York City.
Yep. At Good Morning America. So it was Channel 20. Channel 5, that's where I spent most of my time with Fox Morning News.
You had two runs there, didn't you?
Two runs there. I think 8 or 9 years. Then I went to, what's with the balloons?
I don't know. I think if you do a peace sign, you get balloons.
I thought
understand
those were my
computers.
Two runs. Hey!
Way to go!
Now watch it. He might send hearts later.
Well, those, of course, are the Allison Seymour birthday balloons.
Right. I can't believe you know it's her birthday. Well, in fact,
I saw it on Facebook.
Allison, who I worked with at Fox 5, and we co-anchored for a while, and we
you were great together.
That. Yes. Happy birthday, Allison Seymour. I love you. She's now at Get Up DC on Channel 9 with Annie Yu. Love both of them. So happy birthday, Allison.
Josh, I know you've been out of the city for a while. There's only 10 people in morning television.
They
trade
around
them like Pokemon cards.
I see it's that. Insane. So some of the folks that I worked with at Fox 5 are still there. Allison and Annie at Channel 9. I was at Channel 9 for a while.
Now
I'm at 4. Wisdom Martin left Fox 5. He's at Channel 9. Sean Yancey left Fox 5. She's at NBC 4. it's a little crazy.
You know, it's like our president. You're playing 4D chess.
Well, it's like if the Orioles and Nationals could only trade with each other.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
That's so dead on. Well, we do love you on Channel 4, and it's got to be much less work than anchoring, like, the because Channel 5 was local. And yes. It was, you didn't have a network to cut away to.
Right.
So how much do you do? You don't get a lot of time on Channel 4 in the morning, and that's a drag for me, but how much do you do?
So the show starts at 4:26. Why 4:26?
Oh, I thought it was 4:25.
Maybe we've expanded to 4:20. No, at 4:25. If another station station will go to 4:25. We're now on at 4:24.
Yeah, we can get in one more traffic report.
That's right. So we're on from 4:26 till 7 a.m., and then the Today Show takes over. We do cut-ins during the Today Show.
Sure.
If something major happens locally, then we can cut in and take over. And all that kind of stuff.
How much of that, if it's a snow day, how much of that is just reading school names?
Well, you know what? Here's what's funny. We don't so much read the school names as much as we used to.
Oh, don't have to do it anymore?
Well, they're running at the bottom of the screen.
The crawl has replaced it. Yeah.
Right. And people get notifications on their phone. So,
yeah.
I mean, literally, you're right, Josh. 20 years ago, that would be the bulk of the show. And Fairfax
County.
That was
the only reason I watched morning TV.
That's what.
Well, Mike used to say that they would pray for snow days because they'd come in and play one record and throw it to their news guy. And he'd do all the things and do them twice, and then they'd play another record. And so a snow day, if they could get in, was essentially a day off. But now they have to find real news to get, I guess.
So even now, I will admit that a snow day, because we've got everybody out in the field, so as the anchors, we pretty much toss to them. They do their thing. Chuck, how much more snow are we going to see? Chuck does 7 minutes. You know,
it's like open mic night.
That's great. It's great for you. Now, I got to know, you have been, I mean, in addition to your national television experience, you've been a fixture in this market forever.
Yeah.
How often do you get recognized when you're out?
All the time.
Is it a drag? Do you are people pretty polite, or how are they?
People are very polite.
Great.
I only remember one time when someone wasn't polite, and this was when I was doing the weather at Fox 5. So this is a long time ago.
And you're not a licensed meteorologist, are you?
When people introduce me as a meteorologist, I say, no, I don't have a degree. I'm a weatherman.
Yeah, I took one meteorology class in college, and I found it too hard.
Right. So I thought I'd go with the stick.
All my professors say, hey, big fat kid, put him in the weather booth. And I said, I can't do this.
Yes, but we've all slimmed down.
Yes, and I haven't lost my joviality, but I still don't understand meteorology. So I'm sorry. There was someone who was rude to you.
I'll never forget this. It was in a mall, and so this is like 25 years ago. I guess I predicted snow. We predicted snow, not just me. And it didn't snow. And I was in a mall.
You jerk.
Yeah, right. You would think someone would be happy. This guy comes up to me, and he's like, hey, you. Where's all that snow? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist.
That is pretty great. Well, that guy, if he lives on as the one rude guy, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You've had a pretty good running record.
I have had a very good record. People are nice. I don't mind it. The only time I did mind it was when my son was young, and if I was out with him, especially if it was just he and I, and I really had to keep my eyes on him.
Yeah.
Sometimes people would want to engage you in conversation. I'd kind of have to be, I got to go watch my son. But other than that, it's fine. It's wonderful.
And it's he's graduating this spring, right?
Isn't your son graduating college?
Yeah, by the skin of his teeth, he's making it.
My son is graduating next month as well.
What's
his
major? Yeah, I know. How about it, right? your son, what's he majoring in?
He's majoring... the simple answer is communications, and then everyone jumps, oh, he's going to do like you. No, he's not going to be like me at all. He's in digital media, social media, content creation.
That's identical to my son.
Is it really?
Yeah, he runs social media for the video gaming team at WVU, and they're actually traveling to Orlando this weekend to compete. And he gets to go down there and handle the social media. I think it's so crazy.
So my son has been doing social media along with some other team members as well for the Terps, for their athletic team.
Oh, that is, it's like a carbon copy almost. Yeah, well, we really should get them together. I mean, we almost did once, but we're so busy.
I would love to do that.
I would think that'd be nice. Now, you, what I was talking about when you're recognized, you live ostensibly a more public life than most people. I mean, you can choose what you present on television, but still they're seeing you every day. And you recently had a medical scare, and I found out about it on social media. And I'd like, if you would, if it's not too personal, to walk us through it. It's actually, this would count as public service announcing, but to walk us through the process and how you chose to handle it, which I think was very classy actually very helpful. And also, while we're being classy, thank you to Stez for his $2 donation to the show.
Oh, thank you, Stez.
Thank you, Stez. Well, you know, he only donates when you're on, apparently. I don't know the name.
I'll tell my story, and then maybe he'll donate even more.
I would like to see that doubled and redoubled. But go ahead.
That's right. Thank you, Stez. yes, I had a... I'm sorry you found out by social media. I probably... I was going to say I should have called you, but should I have?
I would have taken the call.
Rob, I've got news. yes. I was diagnosed actually 2 years ago with prostate cancer.
Wow.
Which was a shock to me. You know, you never expect something like that.
No.
I didn't know that there was a history of it in my family, but my father's side of the family, there is.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's something that's incredible when you find out something like that.
Right.
It's happened to me in a couple instances. We're in the same age bracket.
Yes.
But I think when we were kids, there wasn't a lot of talk about what your parents suffered from, what your grandparents suffered from. So sometimes you find it out as a surprise.
Especially
and not
men.
A great one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, there were times when my dad would be in the hospital and I found out not from him, but, you know, someone else in the family. Oh, your father's in it. Well, now my parents were divorced. He wasn't in the house. So otherwise it would be rather odd. But so it was in my family. I didn't know that. When I was first diagnosed, we did what's called active surveillance because it was a low-grade cancer. My PSA numbers weren't through the roof. What happened?
All right.
So that's what we did for 2 years.
Is that typical? Does it come on sort of lightly sometimes and so they can observe it? Okay.
Yes, and this is why, and here's the PSA part. Men, particularly if... I would say I'm not a doctor, but
or a meteorologist. What are you? You're not a doctor. You're not a meteorologist.
I'm an imposter. I have severe imposter syndrome.
Today is a disc jockey. I don't know.
I'm a comedian. I'm a. You know.
I have a Christmas rat. But I know you're not a doctor, but you are experienced.
Right,
so
yes.
You went through it. So.
Men, all you need to do is get your PSA level checked when you get your blood work done. I particularly once you're in your 40s or your 50s, certainly.
Yeah.
Because they can, if your PSA number goes up, and that's what happened to me, at a certain point.
Is that a blood test?
It's a blood test, yeah.
Okay.
So it's just when they take blood, that can be one of the other things they
check on. The
panel,
the screen, yeah.
Right, exactly, PSA. You get a certain number, you watch it, if you get checked later and the number has gone up, then your doctor might suggest, let's look at this. So my doctor, my urologist, said, let's do a MRI.
Okay.
See what's going on in there. The MRI did show a growth in or on my prostate, and so then we did a biopsy. And it turned out I had cancer.
Are biopsies as painful as they once were? What is the process now? Because it literally used to be a needle going in and pulling stuff out like a big wheel. You know, you see they do it, Josh, on big wheels of cheese. They put
I don't know what you're talking about at all.
Do you know what a prostate is?
Horrible.
Yes. Do you know
Some
who Tony
think
is? Let's
we
start.
Talk about prostates on here too much.
No, but I'm not talking about the prostate itself.
Mike and Rob are getting older.
Yes.
And you notice he's not here today, but it used to be a needle. First of all, let me explain my ignorance. The wheels of cheese, if they want to test them, they don't cut a slice. They put almost like what looks like a vegetable peeler in, and they turn it, and they can pull out just like a little cylinder of the cheese to test it. Now, I'm not saying your prostate is made of cheese.
No.
But I want to know if the biopsy, it used to be literally putting a needle in someone and sucking out a piece of the person.
Well, this,
and it was very painful. Is it the same procedure now?
I'm glad you have explained that, because it would explain why, when I was in position to have it done, I heard my doctor say, we're going to do this wheel of cheese style.
So. I'm not a doctor.
No. So first of all, you're out. I was passed out. I'm not passed out. They put me out.
Yeah.
He's passed out. Whatever. Let's do it now.
I'm an alcoholic. I'm a disc jockey. Come back, Tony. We need you.
Thank you. They put you out. They do stick, it's a number of, I don't know if they're called needles, but they go in.
Probes or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And they just pull out a little material.
I'm glad you were out for that, 'cause that couldn't feel good.
Oh, I mean, that's not a good area to, you know.
No. Yeah. And please be accurate.
Yes. Right. That's right. That's right. Hey, I thought we were looking at the prostate. What's going on here?
Right to OnlyFans. Right.
So they analyzed that. I did active surveillance for 2 years. Last year, it had grown in volume a little bit.
Okay, so, now question. I hate to keep jumping in.
No, that's
This is foreign to me, so I want to get it clear. Okay. As it grew, did you sense it in the way you felt, energy level or pain or anything like that?
No pain, no energy level.
So it's a silent thing.
Right. The only thing to get, you know, to be honest, and Josh, you'll come to know this at some point. You will, because it happens. You know, your urine stream when you're an older man is not quite what it is when you're younger. It's not as strong. And
yeah.
You know. Again, have you talked to Mike O'Mara?
Maybe I should call Mike and tell him, hey, you better get
checked. If nothing else, just check on it.
Right.
Yeah, he's got a tool that could help you.
there was a thing that we talked about. It was something that you sat on, and I won't go into detail, save this sound effect. And he said that it worked, but the juice, you'll pardon the expression, of course, the juice, not worth the squeeze. So I think all of us are dealing with the weaker stream now.
Now, was this, did he get this from a doctor, or was this from somebody?
No, he got this from Timo. And they're not a doctor either.
Right, no,
I think
not.
To be perfectly honest, and Josh, correct me if I'm remembering this wrong, he saw a doctor on YouTube.
Yeah, I think it was YouTube or TikTok or something.
And she had all this figured out.
So
and with 2D batteries, you could, like a racehorse, you could.
Yeah, well, okay.
But it didn't work. So, I understand, and it happens as you age.
Yeah, and so that, because your prostate it gets enlarged. Now, an enlarged prostate does not necessarily mean cancer. I did have cancer, so I had two options, surgery or radiation. Each option comes with its own set of pros and cons.
Right.
You consult with a surgeon, you consult with a radiology oncologist, and you talk to your family, you make a decision. I chose surgery.
Okay.
I'm very happy to say. So I had my prostate removed.
Okay.
And they did what's called a robotic laparoscopic nerve sparing prostatectomy. That means it was...
Oh, one of those.
Yes.
Can you explain, please, for those who don't know?
Laparoscopic means as minor an incision as possible.
Okay.
Robotic means it's a robot doing it at the instruction and direction of a doctor, a surgeon.
Right.
But the robot can get in. It can get in. It's very detailed, as opposed... Here's the way my doctor described it. I went in with my hands, it's very hard for me to get around and do all this. A robot can be very precise.
It's understandable.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Especially with your doctor, Dr. Huge Hands.
That's right. That's right.
And all those rings.
You would think, well, he was a Ringo Starr fan, which is why
went
with him. And I said, you could remove the rings for this. So they took my prostate out. The cancer was within the prostate. I am cancer-free.
Attaboy. That's awesome.
Yes,
I love it.
Very happy. But men get checked, especially black men, because we have a we don't get checked until later, and by then it's late in the game. So get checked.
How long were you out of service for that? How long does this take you out?
It depends on what you mean by out of service.
Okay, no. This is a family show.
Right,
it
I'm
isn't.
Sorry.
I'm talking about like how long were you in the hospital and how long were you off the air?
I was in the hospital for 2 days.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was off the air for 3 weeks. We thought it might be four, but my recovery went it very, very smoothly. There are still some lingering after effects that are getting better and better every day.
Great.
But the immediate recovery went very, very well. So
that's great.
Yeah.
And the way you talked about it openly on social media and some on television as well, as someone who is so recognizable, as we've already established, is that that's brave, but it's also really wise and giving for you to use this as an example. And I applaud that. I think that's awesome that you handled it that way.
I did that because as I learned more about it, I knew that this is something that men don't talk about. And
right.
Again, particularly in the black community, it kills men. It does not need to kill you. Well, it doesn't need to kill you. If it's caught early, you know, it can be treated. The other thing,
such strides have been made. I'm sorry to jump in.
Right.
My son diagnosed with leukemia when he was 2.5. He's cancer-free now.
Mm-hmm,
but
which is great.
The procedures changed during his bout. I mean, there were updates on a daily basis.
Yep.
They give you something called a playbook when you start,
mm-hmm.
and it's 3 years of treatment, and you follow it day by day.
Mm-hmm.
A kid that he knew was diagnosed 7 days later than him. And we looked at the playbooks and they were different. They changed the procedure in 7 days.
Yeah.
So they really stay on top of it. And I've seen miracles happen with doctors. So this is so good that you took care of it.
Well,
I'm
someone
so
in the healthcare community, when I told them, well, you know, I have some older relatives who dealt with this. So I'll talk to them. They said, don't bother because it's, when they were treated, you know, 15 mm-hmm. years ago, we weren't doing the things we're doing now. So,
there were no robots.
Right. There were no robots doing it.
Except for Vicky.
Right. Except for Vicky and the thing that Mike sat on.
I don't know if it had like a face or anything. He never showed it.
That just takes a Sharpie.
Yeah. Look, today he's happy. Oh, so surprised. Yeah. Yeah, that reminds me just real quick. The last time, and I know this is sort of a left turn, so everybody hold on while I push the clutch in. The last time I trimmed my eyebrows, I did them too short.
The Sharpie got you there, right?
Well, no. I used clippers and I chose the wrong gauge. And
ooh.
I came in and with glasses, it's not so bad, but you can see I have eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
But one Monday I came in and Josh remarked, "You have no eyebrows." And I thought about drawing them in, but I didn't want to be like always surprised or always mad or anything. So I've been more hesitant to keep them trimmed. Although, and I don't know, we're all men of a certain age. Have you ever woken up and you've got an eyebrow hair that's like an inch long and as white as snow, and it wasn't there the night before? I don't know where they come from.
I don't. You know what? And so here's my thing. The thing that creates those eyebrow hairs or the ear hairs that come out overnight, like you say, an inch. Can I have some of that on the crown of my head, please? Where's
that
hair?
Exactly. That's what you need laparoscopic for, is like a joystick to move it around.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, Josh has got a beautiful head of hair. You and I just watching. That's the problem.
There's plenty of gray
hair. I like that this episode of this show has been so helpful for people. Whether you have cancer or too light eyebrows, it has been informative.
Yeah,
and this
I did
is
get
what we
checked.
Need.
I got checked. I do not have eyebrow cancer. Just too many clippers. And it's like, come on, man. Take it easy. So if you have a cure for that, please let me know. We're going to take a short break and come back and do some news. And we are joined today by Tony Perkins, and I couldn't be more thrilled. So much fun. Tony says he loves doing this, but I know he's going to hit me up for something later. So we'll see. We're coming back with the roundtable right after this. All right. They can't fix your eyebrows, Tony, but Cremo can make you smell wonderful. See, here's the problem with body care stuff. It all smells so boring. Men's products need more variety. That's why I love Cremo. You deserve the freedom from sweat and stink. You see, Cremo's deodorant is designed to provide men with 48-hour odor protection. Cremo products are all barber grade and made with pride, professionalism, and passion to guarantee you quality without compromise. I love this stuff. They sent us a pack with body wash. I have it right here. My body wash is fantastic. Also, the deodorant and the cologne. It smells like something you've never smelled before. It's Italian bergamot. And this is an exclusive European scent, but it is bright and fresh and robust.
You know what it is?
And they also have a Palo Santo,
which
is deep, smoky, and refined. So these are just amazing things. So deodorant isn't just for smelling good. You got to remember, the scent you choose sets the tone of how you present yourself. So Cremo helps men make an unforgettable impression every time. I love this stuff. Impression is just, it's... You walk in and people respect you because you smell awesome. But you got to beware of armpit nuzzlers. They will come find you and they will smell you. You can head to Target or Target.com to find Cremo's new line of antiperspirants and deodorants in the Italian bergamot and Palo Santo sets. Once again, that's Target or Target.com. Now, you remember that, Tony. That's the WTOP news.
Yes,
sound.
I do.
We don't pay for anything. All right. My top story, and I have to start. I know this is primarily an audio podcast, but I have a visual aid. At the age of 91, we lost Wink Martindale.
Yes.
And a great, great game show host. Yes. And not an enemy in the world. And how about this? After one of our trips to Television City, this is my autographed picture from Wink Martindale. Let's see if I can get that right. To Rob, thanks and best wishes, Wink.
Oh,
and he was so cool. He
had to pull it out of the family room.
Yeah, I did. I'll have to hang it back up. He was 91. Now, did you know, this is an amazing fact. His big break was the show Gambit. And most people, if you remember it, it was stay tuned for Gambit on most of these CBS stations.
Right,
that was the closing.
I do remember that. That's right.
And but Gambit debuted on the same day in September 1972 as The Price is Right with Bob Barker and The Joker's Wild with Jack Barry. They all premiered on the same day, which is wild to me. Yeah, Gambit was a big winner right out of the chute, and he got a lot of success. Of course, I remember him mostly from Tic-Tac-Doe.
Yes.
And he held the record for a while for the largest prize win of all time. Someone was on for several weeks, 88-game winning streak. And the guy won $300,000 in cash and eight cars. Because one thing I remember from Tic-Tac-Doe is that if you won five consecutive games, they gave you a Buick Skylark. And it was always a Buick Skylark.
So a guy won eight Buick Skylarks?
Yeah. I imagine one in every color.
Yeah.
So he is from Jackson, Tennessee. His name was Winston Conrad Martindale. That was his name. So. And did you know that two historic things for him? He did the first televised interview with Elvis Presley when he was a DJ in Memphis. Let's look at it. I'm sorry, that's not right. Let's look at this.
Let's see, what would I like to say? I'd like to say that we have a diamond ring that we're going to have as a door prize. It's my initial ring. I've had it for some time, and it has 14 diamonds in it. And we're going to give it away at the door as a door prize.
That's so cool that he had him that early on. He would end up as the morning man at WGBH in Memphis, which is the first station to play Elvis Presley, and a lot of great talent went through there, including Dude Walker. This is so weird that he had a hit record in 1959.
Wink Martindale?
And I have the 45, shocking. But it is a spoken word record called Deck of Cards, and it was in the top 10 enough that Wink went on the Ed Sullivan Show to do this song. Let's go to the tape.
During the North African campaign, a bunch of soldier boys had been on a long hike. They arrived in a little town called Casino. The next morning, being Sunday, several of the boys went to church.
He looks like such a disc jockey, but God bless him.
He really does. I don't think I would have recognized him. If you just showed me the clip, I don't think I would have recognized
him. Yeah, it's so young there. Yeah. It was about a guy who used a deck of cards to pray in church. It's horrible.
Back in the day when records like that could be hits. Can I just say one thing about Wink Martindale?
Please.
When I was a little kid, the first TV people that I was attracted to were game show hosts. Hugh Downs, before he did 2020 years later, he
of course.
Was Concentration. Wink Martindale. What was the guy's name who did the original Price is Right?
Bill Cullen?
Bill Cullen. Yeah. So
they were great, and they were in your home every day.
Yep.
And they were slick, and they were happy. And what Wink said is that he learned a lot of how to host a game show by being a disc jockey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the disc jockeys, a lot of the game show hosts, the classic ones, came from radio people. Because they could handle live stuff, I think, better than. But anyway, he will be missed. He was very nice to me. And it's sad that it seems like we lose someone big every day now.
I never met him. Isn't there another Wink Martindale today?
He's like a defensive coordinator for a football team. Josh, does the name ring a bell?
Yes, there's a Don Martindale who goes by the nickname Wink.
And is that on purpose? Is that a tribute to the game show host, or? It's weird.
I don't know why they call him Wink.
I think Wink designed the most of the defenses.
Yeah,
for
his
team.
It says that one of his teammates called him Wink after.
Oh, okay. So, very good. Now, speaking of an end of an era, this is another one that hits close to me. The last Radio Shack in the DMV is closing.
Oh, no.
Yes. After more than 40 years, the Radio Shack in Prince Frederick in Calvert County is shutting down. It's the last Radio Shack. And Radio Shack was happening when we put this podcast together originally. There was one in Manassas. And for about 2 months, one of us went there at least once a day for something we needed.
Absolutely.
And I know you can get everything through the mail now. You can do your Amazon or whatever. But Radio Shack, if you're trying to do a project, they had the things. And I miss Radio Shack.
And for people like us who were into all this audio stuff,
it was
a great place to go. Most people, I think, just went in for batteries or for a robot car for their kids for Christmas.
Yeah, great toys. Like they did have some good toys.
But can I ask you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's a weird thing. So the last Radio Shack is closing.
Right. Yeah.
Where were they getting their stock? I mean, if they're the last one, who's creating Radio
Shack? I bet it's either impossible to get or really easy because no one else wants it.
Yeah, it's probably stuff they're buying from all the other ones that are closing.
Wow. I would think so.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
Also, they did. They had a tech on staff, which was sort of developed out of a TV repair company. This last one, so they had techs on staff that would help fix things. But I don't know. But maybe they just figured out, hey, we don't have anything to sell.
Right.
Maybe we should go.
You know what? A lot of our customers are coming in and asking, what is radio? So maybe that's a sign.
Precisely. So if you have a radio, if you have a Radio Shack Battery Club card, now is the time to dispose of it.
Hey, and here's the answer to your question.
Okay, great.
Radio Shack no longer has a warehouse, so they had to go on and buy their stuff from other wholesalers. And they just kept the name.
Because were they a Tandy Corporation? Is that what
precisely?
They were? Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
Radio Shack, a Tandy Corporation.
Right. Wow.
And I think their last real lust for glory was when they had Shaquille O'Neal as their spokesman, and they said that's why I call Radio Shack.
They were like,
I wish Mike was here. He does a better impression. Okay, so don't be bothered by the fact that Bill Belichick's girlfriend is 24 years old.
Oh boy. Doesn't bother me.
Be bothered by the fact that he had catchphrases that he used when he coached the
Patriots.
Up there at the Patriots, and they were things like "Do your job, ignore the noise, no days off." These were what a pleasant guy, and the Patriots copyrighted these expressions.
Oh wow!
Because that's what you do, and
well,
now
Bill
he's
wasn't
the head coach.
Well, he wasn't
he's now
be
head coach
March.
Of the. Of the North Carolina Tar Heels. So his 24-year-old girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, is trying to trademark those things by saying the original phrase, which is, do your job, and then in parentheses put after it, Bill's version, like Taylor Swift does with her remade albums. So you could sell a T-shirt that says, ignore the noise, Bill's version.
Bill's version.
And is this smart or is this a 24-year-old? I personally think Bill Belichick said, Jordan, I need you to do this so she would just stay busy.
Right. Yes. So here's the thing. When he's talking to the team, is he going to have to say, so like I say, do the job, Bill's version.
I don't know. I mean, a copyright, I guess it would just be for merch, but who's buying the merch? Bill Belichick merch?
Well, that's the problem. The Bills version is marketing it towards girls and not to guys who are going to play football.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be my guess. But I also think that he probably brings her on all those recruiting visits.
Well, let me say,
have you seen her? I'd bring her too.
Oh, yeah. That's a great. Well, you know what? That's very smart. Mm-hmm. I know what he's including her in everything. What was she on? Wasn't she on some TV show or something with him?
Where Small Wonder.
That's small. That's her now.
That's what it was. But anyway, keep an eye on that. I don't know. No matter what it said, I got no interest. And, you know, I'm not anti-merchandise. I just think it's lousy merchandise. Yeah. That's all. Nice. Could you hit the right button once? All right.
Bill's
Wendy's. Rob's version. Bad board work. Wendy's is my favorite fast food chain. Mm-hmm. I love Wendy's. And they did something very funny yesterday. Is there was a there's a Twitter feed called Pop Crave that posted a picture of Katy Perry yesterday and said after she returned from space, and that was their celebration of the Blue Origin spaceflight. And the official Wendy's Twitter feed or X feed or whatever it is posted under it, "Can we send her back?"
What?
So, I mean, that's pretty rough, isn't it?
They got a lot of attention.
Yeah, from a fast food place? Yeah. So anyway, I guess I will say this is from the story. So Wendy's has a beef with Katy Perry.
Or one employee does, whoever's in charge of the Twitter feed.
You have to wonder what's the line, because, you know, if you're really sarcastic and a jerk on Twitter, I mean, is that going to drive people away?
Well, apparently not.
No, I guess not.
It can go either way. You have to pick the right people to make fun of.
I guess.
Yeah, but that's so out of the blue. I do wonder if someone called someone up and said, what was that about? What are you grabbing?
I bet, there was drinking there, right? I think. Okay, Josh has a dog. I have a dog. Do you have any pets in the house, Tom?
I do not, no.
Okay, have you in the past?
When we were young, yes. Yeah, we had dogs.
Okay, this is a cat story.
Okay.
Did you know there is a disease, and it's called feline mammary hypertrophy, or DP, but the veterinarians are calling it DPS, Dolly Parton syndrome. happens? Yeah, it's officially called feline mammary hypertrophy, and it results in huge cat boobs.
Oh my goodness!
So you can correct this by having the pet spayed at a young age. However, after she sold jeans and cooking mixes, I'm shocked. Dolly's not selling these cats at Dollywood. I would take one of those.
Hey, she might. She might.
And a huge pretzel, please.
You know that your cat has this issue when a bunch of other male cats are coming around all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Can Kitty come out?
And they're all wearing hats. This is fascinating. Steven Tyler, great singer, Aerosmith, this just came out. His daughter said this. Yes. When you think of Steven Tyler at the mic, maybe you're like me, you think of those scarves. He hangs scarves on his microphone stand. Good trademark, very flashy. His daughter, Mia Tyler, this is not Liv, this is Mia. Okay. She's 46, said that it was her idea for him to have the scarves up there because he could put pockets in them to hide drugs on stage in the scarves. Yeah.
Wow.
And the only thing that shocks me about that is that Elvis had a lot of scarves, and never once was there a cheeseburger pocket in any of them. So
the pockets just were. Had he thought about it, thought of it, would have been a cheeseburger in the scarf.
Give him that Aerosmith guy. Right. He's very smart. There is apparently, according to the New York Post, a shortage of cousins right now. Now, I grew up with a billion cousins.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
And I'm still having cousins that are now 50 years younger than me, so they call me Uncle Rob, even though I'm a cousin, which I think is great.
Right.
But they're not having as many kids, and it's because, millennial parents not having as many offspring means less cousins.
Oh.
But I'm just curious if that had affected you. I see that you you don't have a dearth of cousins in your family.
Well, I do. So I have people who frequently write to me or come up to me and say, "Hey, I'm your cousin," or "I think I'm your cousin."
Okay.
And I just kind of say, "I don't think so."
Yeah.
But But
are they looking for cash? Or what are they
I don't know
are
what I don't know what's going on there. Because I don't have that many cousins.
Right.
You know, when they say there's a shortage of them, I mean, is there a shortage or are there just fewer?
Well, I think there's fewer. Okay. I don't know that we need to like panic like with toilet paper.
Right.
Like in the beginning of COVID.
We need more cousins because that's a category that we're losing numbers in. So please get to work, whatever you
exactly.
have to do.
And
to
especially, do you know, in West Virginia, who are you going to date?
Well,
don't maybe, cancel me. Okay,
maybe
please.
That's why they're not cousins anymore.
All right, we're going to close with this. And, you know, I would never bring something not classy to the show, especially with a perennial good guy, Tony Perkins. But you might think this is a Florida story, but it's Pennsylvania, where the director of food and nutrition at a school district in southeast Pennsylvania was arrested the other day for defecating in a store's walk-in beer fridge.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's no good. It happened at about 5 p.m., and the store called the cops at 9:30 a.m. So it was there for a long time. Here's the beautiful thing is because it was a beer cooler, it was all glass. So anyone could watch it going on. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this behavior is not acceptable.
It's not, but I think I know what happened here.
Okay, what happened?
I think the guy misread the sign. The sign said Schlitz here.
Oh, so, that'll get you every time.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out if she's found guilty or not. Amazingly, customers still said it tasted better than Miller Lite. So good luck to her, and I hope she keeps her job at school. I don't at all. We're going to come back, and I've got some Beatle-related questions for Tony.
Ooh.
Right after this. Ah, Bugs. Do you remember, was it Joe Frazier that did the commercial? He said, no, it might have been Muhammad Ali. Bugs, to kill them, you got to get them where they begin.
Right. That's right. Decon or something.
Decon. Well, decon doesn't work. What you need is pesty. You see, bugs bug everybody, and everybody has to deal with bugs in and around your house. And if bugs are even a minor problem for you, you have to check out our next sponsor, and that, of course, is Pesty. It's getting warmer outside. Spiders, ants, other bugs are looking for someplace to hang out. And with Pesty's do-it-yourself pest control, you can make sure they don't choose your house. Pesty is on a mission to provide pro-grade pest control products at an affordable price. You see, other pest control companies will charge over $800 a year, but with Pesty, get started for just $35 a treatment with a customized plan based on your location, bugs, and climate. They will ask you where you live, and then they will figure out what are the bugs that are most prevalent in your area and tailor your poison or your spray to get those bugs. Now, I say poison, I shouldn't. Pesty is kid and pet friendly, and it's so easy. The kit comes, you get a sprayer, you charge it with your USB cable, so you've got your own sprayer. And you get the mixing bag, the pesticide, gloves, and the instructions. It takes literally 10 minutes. You mix up the stuff, you hook it up to the powered sprayer, and you just do the borders of your house. It's fun. It's like a big, fun squirt gun that kills bugs. And I did it last year, and not only did it work, it's a blast to use. So if it doesn't work, you get all of your money back, 100%. No questions asked. So there's really no risk. So why wait? If you see a bug, call Pesty. Protect your home from bugs with Pesty. Go to pesty.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off your order. That's PESTIE.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off. And we thank you, Pesty. Now, you recently did what you called a Beatles pilgrimage?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Yes, now, before you start, I have to share this with folks, is that I've had a lot of great things happen to me, but if I had to pick the best night of my life, it would be the time we saw Paul McCartney at Nationals Park.
Absolutely.
You got four tickets that were, yes, I remember, 13th row, and you couldn't talk your wife or your son into going, and so you said, would you like them at face value? And I think I came to your house that day.
I believe that's
right. And got them. And just a couple pictures. This is from that night. Now, we've seen each other at other concerts before.
Right.
But this was an amazing show. This is us many years ago. And we're both in our prospective Beatles t-shirts, yep. which I thought was very cool.
I still have mine.
Yes, as do I, although I think Ringo's mostly gone. Been through the wash a lot. This is you and my son. I love this picture.
Look at that. Oh.
And, you know, he's now 6'6", Tony.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my yeah. goodness.
But he's wearing a Paul McCartney shirt, and you're in your Beatles shirt. This is him after the show, holding up the program. And I just remember the thought I had that night is I don't want to go to bed because I don't want this evening to be over. It was just so, so good. And this picture is so sweet because I know we lost your mom. And she was at the show with us, and that's immediately after the show, and it's me and my son and you and your mom, and it was just so marvelous. Those smiles are so genuine.
Yep.
So I have to thank you for making that evening possible.
Well, you're the first person I thought of.
You're sweet.
Yeah, and because, you know, we've done some other shows, but it's Paul McCartney. It's great seats. We're both huge fans. I loved hanging out with your son. And it was very special for me because my mom loved music. She introduced my brother and I to so much music. In fact, even the Beatles. When we were growing up, we lived in Southwest Washington.
Okay.
We listened to James Brown, Motown. I mean,
your father was a radio guy of some sort?
He worked in radio for WOL.
Great station. Moonman's going to get you.
Right, yeah. All of our exposure, of course, was to black music. It was called soul music at the time.
Yeah.
That was what we listened to. When the Beatles came along, my mom liked them. I have a vague memory of watching them on the Ed Sullivan Show.
That's cool.
It's one of my first memories. My mom liked them. She bought the album Meet the Beatles. And when I was a little kid, I used to listen to it, and I really liked it.
I have to tell people that is oftentimes, now when you buy a CD, you usually get With the Beatles, which is the British version of it.
Right.
Meet the Beatles is an album that I best describe as relentless. It is hit after hit after hit. It's so striking to listen to it that they could release that as a first album. It blows my mind.
Actually,
I can understand you.
It's better than With the Beatles, the British version.
I agree.
The Americans
yeah.
reconfigured it. So it starts with, I want to hold your hand. I saw her standing there.
Yeah, it goes crazy. It's so good.
So my mom took us to concerts when we were little. We saw Gladys Knight and the Pips. We saw all kinds of people. And she, obviously I had grown into such a Beatles fan. I wanted to take my mom to a rock concert, and I wanted her to see Paul. She loved it. She had such
a great
time. That was
she
her
was
first
so
experience.
Charming too. Yeah. It was so cool, fun to watch you guys. I do have a memory of you playing air guitar right at me. It was great. It was so much fun. Now, let me take a quick detour here. When you talk about the album, and I can do this because Mike's not here. When you talk about the album Meet the Beatles, does a Tony Perkins still listen to Beatles on vinyl? Are you digital? How do you do it?
It's mostly digital, but it's literally CD. I still listen to CDs.
Okay, me too.
I don't stream a lot of music. I do have vinyl. On occasion, I'll play it, but not that often. I should
did
listen
you get,
to it more.
Did you get the first American album box set that came out of Christmas?
Yes.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Remarkable.
And I mean, it sounds, we're, you know, audiophile geeks here, but
here's
one thing that's very interesting to me because, you know, you and I have lived through this. There was the first iteration of Beatles albums, you know, later on, even in the 80s, there was the master, what was it called? The some master's collection. I forget what it was called.
I remember
Mobile
it was
Fidelity.
A box.
Mobile Fidelity.
And it wasn't a box, right?
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Then
I
the
that.
CDs, the original CDs came out.
87,
like
March of 87
crap.
For the CDs. Yeah, they were horrible.
Yeah.
You know what they sounded like? Have you ever heard the albums Alpha and Omega? They were made by people that didn't have anything to do with the Beatles.
That's right.
And if you go to Discogs, they say it doesn't exist, except I have them.
Right.
And so I know they exist. And it really sounds like a mixtape someone made.
Yes, it does. But over the
years.
And
I was so pleased to hear them reindulge and recapture what they had in the first place.
And
good
they
stuff.
Continue to do so. So I love that. You mentioned Alpha Omega. That's what led to these albums, the Red Album and the Blue Album, because Alpha Omega was a bootleg collection.
Yes,
and the Beatles were like, whoa, 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 whoa. We're going to put out our own greatest hits and we'll make the money.
And also, interesting enough, because they had to speed, they really had to fast lane it, and Alan Klein just wanted the money. Another good guy, Alan Klein.
Oh, my goodness.
They didn't put any covers on either of those because they just wanted their own licensing.
Right. That's right.
And they corrected that, a year ago on Christmas when they put out the three disc, which, by the way, also sounds sensational.
It sounds fantastic. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So this has been Audio Corner. let's take a break, because I do want to talk about your pilgrimage, but I'm pleased that you occasionally drop the needle. This pleases me greatly. I have no fewer than 7 record players in my house.
Oh,
and
my
that's,
goodness.
I think, what everybody needs. Not really, but I do love it. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break and be back and talk about the pilgrimage. The man travels, folks. That's what he does. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike back on Friday for the bonus show, so don't miss it out. And until then, it's Rob and Tony Perkins, and we're having a blast. We'll be right back. So this is one of the times that I truly miss Mike, because he does the commercial reads, and I also sometimes write voices into them for him to do, and I don't do voices very good, unless it's Neil Sedaka, killer, but this is supposed to be Casey Kasem, please forgive it in advance. We have a letter from Carla in Florida, and here's what she writes. Dear Casey, here's the question. How can I help you age better? Do you need to lose lots of weight? Do you need to lose 10 to 15 pounds? Do you need better sleep? Do you need more energy? Do you want help with anti-aging? Do you need help with brain fog? Do you need better hormone balance? I'm just asking questions. How about better hair, skin, and nails? What about reducing your inflammation? Do you need better gut health? God, yes. Whoa. How about making those workouts really count by upping your performance optimizations? How about improving your mood or having enhanced libido? Peptides are the future. Peptides, peptides, peptides. And I'm here to help you. That's what Carla says. I can't help you. Carla's inbox is always open. So make sure you check out dermglowskin.com. She does everything that we mentioned in this spot. She can help you with all of those situations. And here's one of the best parts. You go to dermglowskin.com, and payment options include Klarna, HSA, FSA, and the old favorite, PayPal. So you can buy now and pay later. So it's time to try DermGlow, making you the best you that you can be inside and out. Start your transformation today at DermGlowSkin.com. I'm Rob Spiewak, and I'm your friend. You can believe me. Okay, so
I want to do it.
Yeah, you should.
Now let me try. I just want to try something real quick.
Yeah,
because I used to be able to do this. I haven't done it in a long time. This is Casey Kasem.
Well, like Casey Kasem, a week after he died. Jeannie, we have a most elegant tape to play for you.
Why am I dead?
As the numbers get smaller, my body gets colder. And here's what he writes. All right, so this Beatles pilgrimage, is this a long-time plan thing you did?
Well, it's a long-time thing that I wanted to do.
I get it.
I went with two friends, my friend John Hardison, my friend Richard Klimkowitz. We've been friends for a long, 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 long... Well, Richard, I've been friends with him since junior high school.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah, we're all big Beatles fans. And I salute my friend John, because he's the one who finally said, okay, let's do this. I'll do all the homework, but we're going to book it. And so like a year out, he started researching. We would email, have a couple of phone conversations.
Is he a notorious organizer?
Yes, he is, as a matter of fact.
Okay, so that's the person to leave it to. My wife is the same way. Yeah. She right now had me, I was prepping the show this morning, and she texts me, come upstairs. And I said, okay. And I come upstairs, and I don't know what's up. And she says, when Robert graduates on the 18th, I don't think any restaurants are going to be open to get food afterwards. I said, wow. I can guarantee you that there will be a restaurant open when they let out graduation in a college town.
Right.
But also, this is not what you need to worry about before we go to work.
Right.
But it's good to have a perennial organizer
for
a perennial good guy.
If John had not done it, I still would not have been to Liverpool. So
that's great.
We plant the whole thing. We spent, I don't know, 2.5 weeks or whatever it was, 2 weeks. We went to London.
Okay.
We did it backwards. We went to London for a variety of reasons. We did the London stuff. And I'd been to London before, and I'd done a couple of things. I'd done the Abbey Road walk and all that kind of thing. But that, you know, that was with my family at the time. This was with good friends, Beatle guys. So we just indulged.
It's a totally different experience when it's not someone putting up with you.
Absolutely.
And I've got sweet people in my family that will put up with me for stuff like that.
Absolutely, me too.
But you always feel that you're kind of borrowing their time.
Right.
And so if you're going with a true fan, that had to be sensational.
It was great. And so we did London, and then we went to Liverpool. I'd never been to Liverpool.
And it's not that close. No.
I've never
actually toured London, I don't think. I've had a stopover, but I've never been to London. It's not close. I would think when I was little that Liverpool must have been like a suburb of London, but it's not.
No,
it's far away.
It's a few hours away. And in fact, that's one of the things that I as big a fan as I am, I learned so much, and more than learning stuff, gained so much valuable insight into what made these guys, the physical locations of these things, how close they were to each other. And that was one of the things. Liverpool, because you remember they would talk about this way back when, or it's in books.
Sure.
What a big deal it was to go to London.
Yeah,
and, you know, they
yeah.
had one trip where they all piled into a van. This is before they were famous. And drove down in the snow, and it took hours and all that kind of stuff.
They were literally laying on each other just so they could stay warm. Yeah.
Right. And it's like a three-hour trip, if I recall correctly. So we drove on part of the highway. Now, I'm sure the highway's
Who
been
drove?
Refurbished. My friend Richard did.
How is he with a right-hand drive?
He was good. He was good because he'd been somewhere else recently where it was right hand, so he said he had practiced.
Oh, that's good.
With his family. So I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, wow. That's putting the money on the line there.
Right, that's right. So Liverpool, so I went to the Beatles Museum. There are a couple of Beatles museums, and there's one in Liverpool. There's the Beatles Story. Beatles Museum. I should have looked all this up, but just go on Google. You can find these things.
We like to give our listeners things to do.
Right. That's right. There's homework.
That's right.
This particular museum, a lot of this stuff that's in there was contributed by Pete Best, the original drummer for the Beatles.
Yes.
And his family.
Recently retired.
Just retired, like a week ago. Yeah.
It's really changed my life.
After all this time. I hope he's okay because the retirement seemed very sudden.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
I think he had some dates coming up. So I got a real sense of just how significant Pete's role in the Beatles was. And, you know, those of us who are fans know the story that when they kicked Pete Best out, literally like 3 months before becoming huge in England and then Europe, and they brought Ringo in. A lot of the fans in Liverpool, they used to chant Pete forever, Ringo never.
Yeah. He was like a heartthrob, no?
He was
the original cute Beatle.
Yes, he was.
And I think that was key to their attraction back then.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I mean, all the girls gravitated towards him.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of their rehearsing and everything. Pete's mom set up a club in the basement of their house called the Casbah Club. It was in her house.
Wow.
So she was kind of the de facto first manager of the Beatles.
Oh, that's fascinating.
When they kicked Pete out and Brian Epstein, the manager who took over and got them to worldwide fame, there was some discomfort. I don't know if animosity is too strong a word, but it was strong. I never knew this until going there and looking.
I've never heard this either. So
the Beatles in the years when they were super big, touring the world and all that kind of stuff, they always sent or brought back souvenirs from Japan, whatever, for Mona Best, Pete's mother.
Get
because,
out.
Yeah, I never knew this.
I mean, the amount of books that we've both read, and I don't know that she's ever been a player in any of the storylines that I've read.
She had a huge role, and they continued to have a relationship with her. And I got the sense from some of the notes you read and everything that they carried a sense of guilt that we sacked Pete. We didn't do it in a very nice way.
Yeah.
And he's missing out on all of
and
this.
Yeah, the timing was a little unfortunate.
Oh, my goodness. I mean,
can you even imagine? And he didn't really enjoy any Beatles money until Anthology came out.
Until Anthology.
Right?
And, you know, Pete went on to, you know, one of his most famous roles was on What's My Line, talk about old game shows.
Oh, yeah.
Where people had to guess who he was, you know, just by listening to his accent. But and Pete had a you know, he would play live with bands, but he was not a successful music artist. But finally,
why was he, was it Epstein that kind of forwarded him getting out of the band? How did it happen?
So
noted furniture salesman Brian Epstein.
Right. the main so the Beatles felt like I think there was some jealousy because Pete did attract all the girls.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't comb his hair in that Beatles, you know,
when
they started combing them
forward.
He kind of still had the pompadour. And if we actually, we were finally able to listen to some recordings with Pete when the Anthology came out.
Yeah.
He was a strong drummer, not the best at keeping time. The version of Love Me Do with him playing on it is kind of a mess.
Yeah.
They played with Ringo on a couple of occasions when Pete was out or sick or whatever.
Like in clubs, right?
In clubs. And apparently they legitimately, Paul tells this story all the time, they legitimately felt like, oh, this is the guy.
Yeah.
So, but they were kind of chicken about it. And I don't know that they would have done anything about it except when they got a recording contract. Their producer, George Martin,
said
to Brian Epstein, okay, you can do whatever you want to do on the road, but I'm going to replace the drummer with a session drummer because this guy's not up to snuff. And when the other Beatles heard that, they were like, well, no, we're not faking it, and we're not.
Yeah.
So you got to.
But the version, the single version of Love Me Do, is that's Andy White drumming
on that,
right?
That's Andy White, a session drummer that George Martin brought in. Right.
And yes, I said that just to show off, so there.
And so that's the single version is Andy White. The album version is Ringo, because finally George trusted him. And on Anthology, you can hear a Pete Best version, which is a little sloppy.
Well, but Ringo, you know, if anything I've learned over the years that I've really been Beatles-centric is Ringo, so many people say he was just lucky to be there. No. He was such an amazing technique drummer and knew when to hold back.
Yep.
And also, I think of all the Beatles, Ringo was the one that just enjoyed being a Beatle. He loved the process of it. I know you probably watched the thing on Disney about the making of Let It Be. You had to.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And the point where they had a cut, they just went aside to Ringo watching Paul play the piano. And he says, like, I could just watch him do this all day.
Right.
You know,
right,
he loved the band.
Yep.
And his drumming is sensational, especially on those new vinyl releases where they punch up the drums a little bit. It's so much
fun
to listen to.
I'm so glad that they've done that because so many people take him for granted.
Yes.
Here's one thing that I love, and there's a YouTube video and there's a whole bunch of stuff. Real rock and roll drummers, they all say Ringo was the guy. He was as creative on the drums as they were with everything else.
Yeah.
And the drumming on some of their songs, Ticket to Ride, Rain. Strawberry Fields. I mean, it's incredible.
My Life is a favorite too.
Yeah, absolutely.
He knows just the mood to do it. And the fact that when you listen to these remastered live sessions, like the Hollywood Bowl concert in 65, when they've able to actually remove the crowd noise, there's no way to understand how he could have kept time because he couldn't hear anything. He said he watched Paul's ass.
Right.
That's how he kept time.
When I was at Good Morning America, I got to interview him several times, and he has said this story a couple of times. That's literally right. I would ask him, so what did you do? Well, you know, I had to watch their bums a little bit. You know? Then I know where we are, you know.
It's so cool. So the last thing I'll ask you about Liverpool is so often it's presented as a sad shipping city that just doesn't have it's a very working class city. Has it gentrified at all, or is it still that sort of tough environment?
That's a good question. I don't know that it's gentrified, but it has certainly embraced the Beatles and the Beatles story. And so there's a lot of Beatles stuff all over the place. There's a themed hotel called the Hard Day's Night Hotel. And so there's a lot of tourism there. But the Liverpoolian people that I met and interacted with, they have that same accent. They have that same sense of humor, that kind
when
of...
When you encounter that, is that like... It's got to be a little otherworldly.
It is.
Because, you know, you and I know almost all the Beatles material that's out there.
Right.
And if you've encountered something new, even if it's just someone that sounds like them,
right,
it's got to be strange. It's got to be weird.
It's strange. It's weird. But it was wonderful because, you know, I know all that through the Beatles.
Yeah, yeah.
And to see, you know... Coming out of that was the other thing about the Beatles that made them so huge. They had kind of a chip on their shoulder. They came out of Liverpool, which was looked down on the north, you know, you're from North England, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they wore it proudly. They had their, what they call their Scouse humor. Everyone in Liverpool is like that. People That's are great. Funny and all of that. I just want to say two things really, really quick
Please,
about
yeah.
the trip.
The floor is yours.
In Liverpool. I took a tour. We took a tour with their tour guides. We took a tour with the best tour guide out there. And one of the places we went was to the church where Paul and John met when John's band, the Quarrymen,
was playing. Oh, yeah.
I got to go right into the music hall where they met after John and his band's performance.
That's
and
crazy.
It was surreal. It was like, holy cow, history changed in this room because these two guys met. In the back is a cemetery, and the grave of Stu Sutcliffe is there.
I had no idea.
He was the fifth Beatle who stayed. He was John's best friend. Stayed in Hamburg to be an artist and so quit the Beatles before they got big. He was their original bassist, although he couldn't really play.
Yeah, he was not much of a musician.
Right, exactly. He was an artist and some good artwork. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was so weird because I stood over his grave, I read it, and I got choked up. And I just thought, you know, he wasn't one of the ones that we all know. I mean, Beatle fans know of him. And the tour guide said, you're getting choked up because this is the only grave site for a Beatle. Because both John and George were cremated.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And it's so it was weird. And then one last thing I want to say. Everyone who goes to London, they do the Abbey Road walk.
Sure, the zebra walk.
The zebra walk. I could stay there all day. We were there for a couple of hours because it's amazing.
Watching
people do it. The people who are trying to drive through there, they all know it. And as
long because
as
it's a road. It's a serviceable road.
Exactly. And as long as you're respectful, you do take your picture, get out of the way. They're cool.
Yeah. That's good.
But people from all over the world, this band broke up 55 years ago.
Yep.
It's an album cover from 1969. And to this day, hundreds of people every day go there, take that picture. That is remarkable for these four guys from Liverpool. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm so glad you made the trip. And I love the fact that it seems to me that they have had more of a resurgence in the past 20 years than they did in the middle of it.
I think so.
Because I remember when they were marketing albums like Beatles Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
And it was a collection that was hastily put together and badly marketed.
Yes.
I love the fact that they're respecting the original art. And I also love the fact that largely because of you, I've got to take in each of my kids to a Beatles concert.
That's great.
Paul.
That's great.
And they are into it too. And it's a marvelous thing. And I don't want to overstate it, but it's like, you know, hey guys, you know, before you were born, there was this guy Mozart. He was really good. I want you to listen to him.
Yep.
Well, that's what I feel like when I listen to certain elements of the Beatles. And I love the fact that it's recent enough that we can still grab pieces of it. But you absolutely took the big bite. And I'm jealous.
You have to.
We will. Yeah. And I'll put you in my suitcase and we'll all go over together. It'll be like an episode of I Love Lucy where we get caught on the border.
Lucy, put that guitar down.
Aye, 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 Pete Best. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to do a beautiful video, which will be fun because Tony's never participated in a beautiful video segment. So stick around. You a coffee guy?
I am not, believe it or not.
Okay, but you're around a lot of coffee people, I'm sure.
I'm around a ton of coffee
people. Morning
people.
Television.
Yeah. I love the smell of coffee, yes.
Yeah, I do too. Yep. And you would actually, if you like the smell of coffee, you would love this because caffeine lovers, listen up. I bet you're almost out of your initial bag of Charlie's Choice coffee. Well, guess what? It's still a thing, and it's awesome, and you can reorder or subscribe for some more right now. Don't just drink coffee. Experience it. Now, we all know that you got to have coffee, so we here at the Mike O'Mara Show wanted to give you the best. We went and found our own roaster in Florida to roast our own coffee,
wow.
Charlie's Choice. So what you need to do is have a nice, fresh cup of Charlie. It's available in whole bean or fresh ground. You can get a one-time order, or if you want to save money, get a subscription, and it's delivered right to your door. This premium medium roast blend combines the finest beans from Brazil and Guatemala, delivering a rich and balanced cup with smooth caramel, deep cocoa, and sweet honey tasting notes. It's amazing. And when you get your bag, it has the date of when it was roasted. And when I got my bag, it was 2 days old. When I opened it,
fantastic.
It was a festival of smell. It was so good. It is crafted and roasted in small orders in St. Augustine, Florida. And every bag is fresh and full of flavor because great coffee should never be a gamble. Each package is marked with its roast date, as I said, so you know how fresh it is. So support small business and enjoy a cup of Charlie today as part of your perfect morning. You got us on the podcast. You can drink Cup of Charlie out of your Mike O'Mara Show mug. It's good to the last sip, Tony, and I will stand by it. It is excellent coffee. So check it out.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
Oh, George Michael.
George Music Powered Michael.
He, another employee at WRC,
yes,
which is
great. Legend. Yep.
Yeah, go the best. Okay, so I want to play you a couple things here. We talked about yesterday, and I think all the world was talking about the Disney ride known as the spaceship that took Katy Perry and everyone up there. We had video yesterday where you saw that the interior of the capsule looked like the Whitewater Canyon. There were no buttons.
I know.
You just sat down and you buckled in. I mean, I guess I could do it. I don't really want to go to sort of outer space. I don't even want to go to outer space.
Right.
But they got a lot of grief about it, and Gail King, professional friend of Oprah, was captured on as she was leaving, I guess, ABC studios and was questioned about it.
I'm going to use the Mel Robbins theory of let them, but I say anybody that is criticizing this, and some of them are people I know and like, so I'm a little surprised. I say you should go to Blue Origin and see what they're doing. I was one of those people in the beginning too. Space, why are we spending money on space when we have so much to do here? Space exploration is not an either or, it's a both and. And because you're doing something in space,
what?
Doesn't mean you're taking anything away from what's happening at Earth.
Now, I know, and you can probably tell me if I'm right, I've got this feeling that ABC said, oh yeah, you have to do this.
Yes.
Like they did in the show, The Morning Show.
Right.
I mean, it's great publicity.
Oh,
Everyone's
did they go to space on The Morning Show?
Yeah, they did.
My goodness, I didn't know that.
Well, John Hamm had some sort of rocket something.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't know that. Gail's at CBS.
CBS, forgive me.
Yep. And I'm sure that now, but I would suspect if she said, oh, no, I'm not going up in a rocket ship, then they would have forced her. But yes, it's amazing publicity. Everyone, mm-hmm. you know, NBC, we had her on NBC Nightly News talking about mm-hmm. it. So it's, hey, here's Gail King.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. It's weird because it's space tourism in a way that's kind of cool that we've gotten to the point where now, you know, well, I was going to say regular people, not regular people, because you got to have a lot of money.
You got to have a lot of money.
Right. But that, you know, you can go up to space, spend a few minutes up there and come back down. But
I think that CBS should have a funnier person do it, though.
Oh,
I mean,
my goodness.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, if you had some, like, let's just say you, and you're due to go back to CBS soon, I think. I have to check the calendar.
Right, that's right.
But if they chose you, you would be so funny about it. And they've got reporters that could have a blast with this.
Absolutely.
And not kiss the ground when you land. That's
right.
Not funny. No one's laughing at that.
I completely agree.
Yeah, and a lot of people are saying this is a really great way to empower women in space while all the programs on Earth are being cut. So
right, yeah. How about that?
It's weird. I'm not a space guy, but I mean, it really does to me look like the next thing at Disneyland that they did.
Well, I mean, and you're right. There are no buttons or anything. So literally you get in. There's no pilot. It was autonomous.
Yes, now, I know.
I want to have a pilot, you know, because in case something goes wrong, I want a guy sitting there or a woman, I don't care who it is, who knows what to do. Otherwise, you're just sitting there like, wow, this was really not worth it.
I love the thought of you getting on a plane and just saying, hey, I want a pilot. And there he is. Right. Pain. What a pain.
Right. What a diva. Okay. Going to space, you got to have a captain.
If I had to think of one word to describe you, it would definitely be diva. Okay, so at the Atlanta Braves game, this reporter is getting a lot of grief for this. And you have done, you know, on-the-spot reporting before and stuff in the field. How do you think he
having a lot
this?
Of fun up here up the Corona rooftop? Who do we got here? What's your name?
My name's Lauren.
Lauren's, all right.
And I'm Kayla.
Kayla, and you guys hang out at the rooftop lounge often?
Once a year, I come out to visit.
Okay, well, we timed it pretty well. All right, good. How are you guys feeling about root for the Braves today?
Oof, I don't know. I'm hoping for the best.
What about you? Are you a Braves fan now?
Not quite.
All right, I'm gonna go to work up here, guys. Good luck the rest of the way.
Okay, Wiley. You got four innings to get the numbers.
Come on.
Get us some more Braves fans.
Now watch.
All right, so they want me to get your number.
They want you to get my number.
I'm dead serious. They're saying in my ear right now, she didn't believe me because she thinks you guys are not making this up.
So he got the number despite his Kermit the Frog-like voice. Now, if someone at the desk threw you that remark, how would you handle it? And do you I think he should have blown that off.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
Now you can't. Listen, if it was the 1970s, okay, you'd get away with that. Now you can't. Half the crowd out there is women. Half the audience watching is women. You know, you can't just be hitting.
But it surprised me that the equivalently the play-by-play and the color guy would put him in that situation.
And they're the ones who, you know, blame. There's enough blame to go around. The guy out there should have. You're right. He should have blown it off. I think if it were me, I would have said, "Well, I'm not going to do that." But thanks for the idea, or something like that. Just kind of play it off.
I would have held off for better looking viewers if I were him. But that's just me. But I haven't called a baseball game in years.
The first girl, I think she said her name was Lauren, and he said Lawrence. He got her name wrong.
Maybe.
So, I'm not giving you my number.
Giving him to an eye doctor. All right. So let's close with this. The Office is a show that I liked a lot. I don't rewatch it. But my kids will turn on The Office on like Netflix and put it on the way I used to put on the radio when I was a kid, just to have background noise. Oh, they love every episode of The Office. And this is pretty funny. We're going to close with this. This is Rainn Wilson, who plays Dwight.
Great.
He reveals that he wrote lyrics to the theme of The Office.
The Office theme famously does not have lyrics. Yeah. However, you said in chapter 15 of The Bassoon King, you said,
that's his
perhaps
book,
I'll sing them to you one day if you're nice.
You haven't been very nice.
I'm a pretty nice guy.
I have some Office lyrics.
Can we do it?
The theme song. It's been a very long time. I have to read them off.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
I feel a little sorry for Rainn Wilson that even when he's cool Rainn Wilson, he still looks a little like Dwight. That's tough.
Yes, sadly so.
I don't know that he can shake that mantle.
Do you need us to set the rhythm, or you kind of have it in your head? Down.
Finding his beat.
All right, we'll do it as a group. Yeah, here we go.
Something like that.
Okay, so here we go. Here we go. Here we go. We're going to do it as a group. A one. A two. A one, two, three.
The Office, a show about a boss. Mostly it's a show about Dwight. Show is a lot of fun. Mostly Dwight's a lot of fun. Remember Stanley. Mostly I remember Dwight. Krasinski's manly. No one wants a bobblehead of Jim. Let's face it, it's a show about Dwight. Let's get real.
Those are the lyrics. Those are the lyrics to the theme from The Office.
That's
so great. a quick reminder here, folks. Don't forget our Kentucky Derby party at Jimmy's Old Town Tavern. You can make your reservations by contacting Jimmy, and they will have a table waiting for you. We have our fabulous hat contest. And, of course, the Kentucky Derby, the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. And if you want to find out about our Love Boat cruise that we're taking in December, can find all that information out at MikeOMaraShow.com. Oh, yeah, we're doing a cruise in December.
Do you need, like, live guests?
Tony, come along. Again, I'll hide you in my bag, and you can... You can be in that big porthole thing on the deck.
Oh,
you know,
it's
the thing
be
that
like
looks
that.
Like a,
okay.
Yeah, like a trumpet. You can hide in there. No, it's great. It's like Indiana Jones. It's so cool. Really, I'd rather be there.
Right.
Tony, I can't tell you what a pleasure it is and how thrilled I am that you join us on the show. I'm a big fan. I love you.
I love you.
I really appreciate it.
I love you.
You're a perennial good guy. You are.
Thank you. I love doing the show, as you know. I love hanging with you. Give my regards to Mike. You guys mean a lot to me as friends. And I always say this, I'm a fan as well.
Oh, and you're the best.
You know, I get a call from you. You're my friend, Rob. Hey, you want to do the show? There's a part of me that's like, yeah.
And then there's another part that says, why did I pick up? We'll be back tomorrow when Josh has booked his brother. Josh's brother is a doctor of some sort. So maybe he can answer my eyebrow questions.
Right. And you know, I'll send him some more follow-up prostate questions.
And Mike's humming thing will result in all these things. And if you take anything away from this, remember, Tony didn't like the show Small Wonder. Tony, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And we'll talk to you later. Have a great day, everybody.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.